Welcome back to this series of classes on spiritual warfare. Hopefully you used my suggestion last time to spend some time in prayer with yourself, with the Spirit, with the Savior, with the Father. This is important stuff. You're going to find it. You're probably finding it already as we're up to session 25 in this class. And so you're seeing him more often as you're becoming a watch person, right? One of those people who's watching on the wall for the enemy's approach. But now I want to begin this session with prayer as we continue talking about what we can use on offense. We've seen the defensive armor of God that defends us, but the sword of the Spirit, which allows us to go on offense. Are there other tools? That's what these next sessions are going to be about. Other tools that we can use that puts us on offense in this battle. Join me in prayer. Our Father God, we are thankful for the presence of your Spirit. Jesus, thank you for sending him. As we continue to explore this subject of spiritual warfare, pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart will be pleasing to you, but will be helpful to the people. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We are now going to be talking about going on offense, prayer. So this is, again, this is a turning now from the armor of God to an activity that we can be involved in. And not just an activity. Prayer is not just an activity, but an activity of prayer that engages us successfully in the battle against the enemy. And we're going to look later at the various levels of warfare and all that good stuff, but prayer is a key tool. This is how Paul, right after he's talking about the armor of God, it seems like there's a break. In fact, some of the old translations would even put a break there. But in the original, there's no break. This is his next statement after take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And this is his next statement. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Prayer, right? This is the other thing. Take up that sword of the Spirit so that you can apply the word of God, the logos, with a rhema in the particular situations. Keep that other armor in place because the enemy is going to be fighting back. Keep it all in place and pray. And did you notice the parts I highlighted? All occasions, all prayers and requests, all the Lord's people. We're going to explore that later at the end. Now, so prayer is one of those things that's going to be part of our battle equipment, that we become people of prayer. Now, that gives me deep concern. Recently, I found some Pew Research statistics. In other words, it's an organization here in the United States that tries to keep tabs on many things, but one of them is the state of religion in the United States. And so I found a report on studies they had done, surveys they had done, to try to understand where the church is, where Christians are, and other believers in the United States in regard to prayer. This is going to be small, so I'm sorry about that for you, but if you're on your phone, that might be difficult to read. But here's the list by religious tradition, and which of them pray at least daily, weekly, monthly, seldom, never, don't know. And so this is the listing from Buddhist to Catholic to Evangelical Protestant, which about 30% of Protestants in the United States, Hindu, etc., Black Protestant, Jehovah's Witness, Jewish, mainline Protestants, Mormons, Muslims, etc. Now, it looks like there's really good news in here, right? Because Catholics are praying 59%, pray daily, 20% pray weekly, 7% monthly, etc. Evangelical Protestants, 79% say they pray at least daily, 14% weekly, 3% monthly, 4% seldom, never. Historically, black Protestant, 80% pray daily, at least daily, 12% weekly, 3% monthly, etc. And then you go down, you get mainline Protestant, 54%. And, you know, when you read that, Orthodox Christian, 57% daily, when you read that, it sounds like, hey, we're pretty good condition here in the United States. Yeah, I don't, that, where your country is, it may be worse, maybe a little better. Until you start looking in a little more detail, then that's when I start feeling discouraged. Here's by age group. 18 to 29-year-old people, 16% pray at least daily, 25% pray at least weekly, 27% monthly, 33% seldom, never. The next generation, 30 to 49, 34% pray daily, 34% pray weekly, 37% say they pray monthly, and seldom, never. 34%, more than one-third, never pray. 50 to 64, 29% at least daily, 26% weekly, 24%, 20%, etc. And if you're 65 and over, which is my age category, 20%, 21% pray at least daily, 15% pray at least weekly, and 12% monthly, 13% seldom, never, 36% don't know. I don't know what that means. It means that prayer isn't even on their radar, I guess. Now, when I look at that, it seems like as the generations are going on, prayer becomes less and less important. Does it strike you that way? Now, if you look at this in one more way, and here's by category of the generation. So younger millennials, so these are my grandkids, 10% at least daily. Older millennials, which is my children, 12%. Generation X, 28%, 34% baby boomers, which is my direction, my group, 14% the silent generation, which is post-World War II, and 1% the greatest generation, which was World War II. Look at those numbers, if you can see them. Now all of a sudden I'm not so hopeful. Especially when I put this against what the Bible says about prayers, particularly in the New Testament. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, from Colossians 4, verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Pray continually. Now, I find those things to be challenging. That Colossians 4, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And look at those words, watchful, like a watch person, right? Looking for the enemy's attack. And thankful. Devote yourselves. Now, that word devote is a powerful word. You know, if somebody's devoted, I've got a friend who's devoted to the game of golf. He's passionate about the game of golf. And in the summers here in West Michigan in the United States, he's out there 3, 4, 5 times a week. He's hired a coach to coach him. He goes indoor to work on his drives in some of the places here that we have to do that. He's hired a coach to help him in his drive and in his putting. And he's got all these people who are helping him. He's on the course, and he's devoted. He's giving time. He's giving energy, resources. He's buying new clubs because he's heard the next greatest club is going to be the one that's going to straighten out his drive. He's devoted to the game of golf. We read about a parent being devoted to their child. Now, you're devoted to your child. You're going to spend time. You're going to spend energy and effort because you want your child to thrive, and so you're going to bring resources that you have to bear in that situation. So what does it mean in that context then to say, devote yourselves to prayer? What resources have to be pulled into our lives in order to make prayer important, to be devoted to it? Sounds like we've got to be praying every minute of every day, right? How do I do that? How do I always pray and not give up? Well, let me reflect just just some thoughts on that. I like this. The message is not a translation, really. It's the person who did that called it a dynamic equivalency translation, taking the Old Testament, the New Testament Greek, and making it living for those of us who are English speakers. Here's Romans 12, verse 1. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. In other words, that I begin to look at my life and I consciously bring it before God, requesting things for people, doing battle on behalf of some people, lifting people up. And I do that. Now, a friend of mine, in order to try to accomplish in some way, has an alarm on his phone that he has set to go off at certain times during the day, so that several times a day he takes himself back to prayer. Briefly, of course, because he works. But I'm going to be praying about this because this is important to me. What does it take for you to do that? Well, it's going to take something of following the commands that Paul gives here in this passage we looked at earlier. Look at this. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Now look at that first one. All occasions. And so when you're celebrating, when you're down, when you're engaged in something, that be somebody whose mind is turning to the things eternal. And then do this with all kinds of prayers and requests. Now, the word prayers there means the general words for prayer. So all kinds of prayers means, adoration, praise to God, celebrating who He is, confession of sin, that's another kind of prayer. There is awaiting as a kind of prayer, be still and know that I am God, with all kinds of prayers. Another kind of prayer is intercession for somebody. Then there's requests. The word there could be translated as supplication. It means to want or beg. It refers to making known specific needs, and it conveys a sense of urgency that there are people for whom we're going to pray, and we're going to come with all kinds of prayers and requests. And so as people come to mind, sometimes God brings people to mind, but there are people we know. One of my brothers, I have six brothers, one of my brothers, I had a son, 52 years old, who died last week. And they are going to have the funeral next week, Saturday. And he comes to mind many times a day. And so with a sense of urgency for him, his family, for my nephew's wife and three young children, there's this constant sense of God help them. God give them words, give them strength in each other. Their faith is just shining through in magnificent ways. And then I'll know that my wife is engaged in something. I mean, when she goes to work in the morning, which she still does occasionally, filling in for somebody, she teaches nursing in a local school, I will think of her during the morning, and I'll pray with requests. And sometimes they're urgent requests, because I know she's going to work. Last week she went to work, and she's getting over the cold that I had after some travel. And so want or beg, conveying all kinds of prayers, all kinds of requests. Singing is a prayer, can be a prayer. Meditation can be a prayer. So all kinds, we keep all of those things in mind. And then he says, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying. Now, this translation in English doesn't quite capture, I think, what Paul was trying to say, although, the translators struggle with these things. But here is another person's translation. Continually being watchful in all perseverance and supplication. In other words, be alert means I'm going to be on my alert. Since I've been developing this class to put online for Christian Leaders Institute, I have become much more alert. I am being watchful every day. And when things happen, I'm wondering, okay, is this an attack of the enemy? And if so, I've got to know how to apply that. We're going to get to that very soon in this class, about how do you apply all of these weapons we're talking about in a specific situation when the enemy attacks. But I'm watchful now because I've become more and more aware of it. I'm watchful as I become aware in the world, and I've got missionaries that I'm connected to. I'm watchful for how the enemy might be bringing limitation. We had the privilege just not long ago of spending 4 days with one of our missionaries, a young woman, lives in Spain working with migrants, but God has given her a burden and an ability to see the future. And so she's developing ministries in that area of Europe with all the migrants, particularly Muslim migrants. And so we got to walk in her life for 4 days. And since then, wow, I'm watchful. And I'm bringing supplications, desires to God that for her life, and the same is true for my own. And then we do this for all the saints, everybody, everywhere. And it's amazing how God answers. I came across, I'm hoping to end this series of lessons talking about the role of angels in the battle as well. And so I stay tuned for that toward the end as we get down near sessions 34, 35, and 36. But I was reading some books about angels recently, and here's one that came from a reliable source. A story of a missionary who was stationed pretty far out in the jungle in Africa, and sometimes he had to ride his bike through the jungle. There was a pathway, ride his bike to a city where he could buy supplies. And he did that one time, got into the city, and he came across two men who were fighting. And the one was badly hurt. People managed to stop the fight. So he, because he had some medical training, helped that person and, bandaged him, etc. Well, bought his supplies, and the next day he headed back to the jungle. And it was a long trip, which required him to spend a night in the jungle camping. And that's what he did that night, and he got back. Well, a while later, as he was back in the town, the man he had helped came to him and said, "Who were those men with you?" And he said, "What do you mean, men with you?" And the man said, "When you helped me before, we knew that you had money with you, and we knew you had supplies, medical supplies. And so we followed you into the jungle, intending to attack you and steal from you." He says, "But when we got there, we found that you had 26 armed guards standing around you. Who were they?" And the missionary laughed and said, "No, it was only me." But a while after that, he was at home, church here in Michigan, and he told about that experience. And a man in his congregation interrupted his presentation by jumping to his feet and saying something that left everyone in the church stunned. With a firm voice, he said, "We were with you in spirit." The missionary looked perplexed. The man continued, "On that night in Africa, it was morning here. I stopped by the church to get some materials for a ministry trip. But as I was putting my bags in my trunk, I felt the Lord leading me to pray for you. It was an extremely strong urge, so I got on the phone and gathered some other men to come to church and pray for you." Then the man turned to the rest of the congregation. "Well, all of those men who prayed with me that day, stand up right now." And one by one, they stood up, all 26 of them. And like I say, this is from a reliable publication. It's not a fly-by-night group. When we pray, things happen. It's a powerful prayer, and partly because of this. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for us, the saints, according to God's will. Now, if you need help in developing your prayer life, I just want to end this session with a couple of suggestions. One, this is a prayer wheel developed by a man named Dick Eastman. It's several years ago now, so you can get the book. But it takes 12 facets of prayer and says if you do just 5 minutes in each area, then you have spent an hour in prayer. So you go from worship and praise to waiting to confession of guilt and sin, praying scripture, watching, intercession for other people, petition, asking for yourself, thanksgiving, singing, contemplation, meditation, listening to God as part of your prayer life and praise, and you can find that all in this. Pray. always, with all kinds of prayers, pray. Pray for all the Lord's people. Pray for yourself. Pray for the people you love. And you'll see the battle being turned. We'll see you next time.